hearts of the Lord. How many are glad that they're alive and they know the Lord? Yes. You know the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I'm alive and I know the Lord. We bless the Lord. We thank God today for everyone that's here, all of our guests, visitors, and friends. Amen. We thank God for you. And we thank God for my wife, pressing away. And look good in the hand. Alright, how many of y'all put in the plug for hats? Alright, there's nothing good in the hats. Nevertheless, we just thank God. We thank God for all of you. Give yourself a hand praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because without you, there will be no us. Amen. But it's very today, times are getting short. We're going to get right into the Word of God. Let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, we're going to read verses 1 through 2, and then 7 through 10, and then verse 13 of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. And how great is our God? How great is our God? Amen. Job said, when I think about God and all that he's done, things are too... Listen, I can't even put it in words. How great is our God. Job said, things too wonderful for me, which I do not. And you know what? Job said that after he had just gone through one of the worst trials that anyone could have gone through, in the midst of the trial, he still said, how great is our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let God be what he wants to be to you. Amen. I know we're a good start and we're a bad start. Don't just let God have his way. Amen. Old song said, just let go. Come on, let go and let God. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a tendency to fight and resist God. But how many know God does nothing to hurt any of us? We've been blindsided into thinking that if we do for God, we'll lose out. How many know if God be for you? Who can? So don't think, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I can't get saved yet because then I lose out on the best part of life. I know James Cleveland. I'm not a great James Cleveland fan, Minister Anthony. I know you are. I'm not a great James Cleveland fan, but he said that Jesus is the best thing that ever. How many know that Jesus is the best thing that ever? That my wife is a good thing. And then what the Bible says, he defines a wife? But Jesus is the best thing. Jesus is the best thing, Lord, that ever happened to me. If anyone should ever write, thank you.
Lord, even in our finite minds, we don't understand. God, you're able, the Bible says, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. According to thy will, Lord, we ask you to speak. Lord, walk around the church today. Lord, we request a divine presence. Lord, we request your anointing. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, the search hearts and the search mind, and then, Lord, move according to your will. Oh, God, we ask you today to speak, hallelujah, for thy servant here, and we're going to thank you in advance for the blessings that we know are going to come our way. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Yes.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. My topic today is God blesses those who obey him. Put that up, Sire, for me. God blesses those who
obey him.
Obey him. It's so important, especially in this day and hour that we live in, that we have an ear to hear not what the preacher says, not what people says, not what your husband or wife says, but an ear to hear what the Spirit says unto the church. That's the most important thing today, Lord. There are a whole lot of voices out there, but I want to hear what God has to say to me. We don't want to be a Samuel. The Bible says that God was calling Samuel, but Samuel couldn't respond because Samuel did not yet know the voice of God. So God was calling Samuel. I wonder how many of us are like that. God is calling us and we keep running to people. Right? Well, you say, well, how do I keep running to people? Because every time something don't go your way, you leave church and go talk to somebody about it. So you're missing the voice of God even while you're in church. How many know Samuel was in the temple?
Amen.
But he did not yet know the Lord. So it's so important today that we know the voice of God. So God would call Samuel, and Samuel would run to Eli. How many of us have God been speaking to in our spirits? Has God been directed, and we keep running to somebody else? How many? Eli was a spiritual leader at that time. How many know that? So sometimes when God calls you, you can't go to someone else to find out what God is saying. Do like this to you. God ain't speaking to me, but he's speaking to you. So every time God would call the child, he would run to the spiritual leader. And the leader said, I did not call you. Then eventually, Eli said, wait a minute, there's something unusual happening here. He keeps saying he hears a voice. Hallelujah, but it's so important today, especially young people, learn to hear the voice of God. Because Samuel was young, he was in the temple, but somebody said he did not yet know the Lord. So Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the child. He said, the next time you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord. For thy, come on, can we say, speak, Lord? His voice. So we read, well, can I give you, if we were to have a subtopic to obey God's voice, the subtopic would be, are you making the wrong sacrifice? Are you making the wrong sacrifice? Well, I know God is calling me, but I'm not doing all that God has said, and we have a classic example of someone whom the Lord gave a specific command. But he picked and chose what he wanted to do. The Bible says that the Lord told Saul through Samuel, he said, destroy all of the Amalekites. But Saul had a better idea. And Saul, instead of listening to God, listened to the people. And the Lord sent Samuel to Saul, he said, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" So Samuel, Saul, I'm sorry, was making a sacrifice, but look at somebody and say it was the wrong sacrifice. He sacrificed what he wanted to give, but God wanted him to obey. So he said to obey is, Lord, thank you. To obey the voice of God is better than sacrifice. So today, how many want a blessing? Come on, how many? Everybody want a blessing. You can't get a blessing by disobeying God. Our blessings come through obeying God. Well, Moses is speaking to the people of God in verse 1. He says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently," means not half-hearted, not when you feel like it, but to hearken diligently means you have to hearken all the time. Diligence is giving God your best when you feel like it and when you don't. He said, "If you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." And somebody said, "I don't have a blessing." Who are you listening to? "I don't have what I desire to have." Who are you listening to? He said, because if you hearken diligently unto the voice of God, he's going to give you all these blessings. Not only is he going to just give you a blessing, but he said the blessings are going to overtake thee. How many watched the Olympics recently? Anybody watch the Olympics? But, okay, how many ever seen somebody run track? Everybody probably seen somebody. How many have seen somebody run down the street and somebody catch them and gas them? How many saw yourself driving a car and out of nowhere something came and passed you? It overtook you. And you couldn't stop it. I used to run track. You know, like a lot of these long distance runners. You know, you ever see me like way out in the front and you just running hard. Then all of a sudden, you take a peek in the back, and the crowd is getting a little bit get closer, right? Whoa. So you put it in the gear, and you run even harder, and that crowd gets even closer. And you just say, you ever do it? You just put everything you got into running. Then all of a sudden, that crowd overtakes you. You giving your best. But they still, but that's how God's blessings are. When you give your best, hallelujah, out of nowhere. I said, when you give your best, out of nowhere, the blessing that was way back there, all of a sudden the blessing is in front of you. Why? Because God said, if you give me obedience, he said, not only above all people that are on the earth. Why? Because And it reminds me of the time when God was blessing his people in Israel when they came out of Egypt. And the scripture says that Balaam observed that these people are blessed. So he sent for Balaam and he said, come, curse me, these people of God. Anybody ever try to curse you? Hallelujah. Don't you worry about a thing. Just stay with God. Amen. Somebody say, keep your hand in the hand of the man that steals the water. Hallelujah. They can purpose it on a curse you, but if God be for you, who then can be against you? So Balaam sent for Balaam and said, come curse me, Israel. And God said, man, you can go with them even though I don't want you to go. He said, but the people are blessed. If you're on God's side, you are blessed. He said the people are blessed. But there are times when people don't believe God. So Balaam still tried to curse Israel. And then Balaam finally came to the conclusion. He said, how can I curse whom God has not cursed? He said, the people are blessed. And I cannot curse. The scripture says in Proverbs 21 and 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Right? Pull up 21, Proverbs 21, 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable than to the Lord than sacrifice. Well, does the devil know this scripture? Yes. So you know what the devil tries to do? He tries to make a sacrifice instead of doing what God says. Amen. And I heard Paul tell the Corinthian church, you can give your body to be burned. You can sacrifice all your goods to feed the poor. But if you don't do what God blesses, he said he will profit you nothing. So there is a right sacrifice and there is a wrong sacrifice. Amen. Well, what is the right sacrifice? The scripture says, but ye beloved, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the right sacrifice. When I don't hold nothing back, when I give God my all. And when I give God my all, God said, I'm going to bless you. Amen. He said, and you know what? You don't even have to do anything. I'm going to command the blessing. And then out of nowhere, the blessing will overtake you. Hallelujah. You won't even know where it comes from, but God said, I'll be fighting your battle. I'm going to command the blessing to overtake you. So what is your sacrifice? Now there's a sacrifice that we can do in honor of man. And then there's a sacrifice that we can do in honor of God. Today, what is your sacrifice? Sacrifice means, God, I'm giving all. Amen. As God tells them, I believe in Psalm the 50th chapter, he said, I'm not asking you for sacrifices, but I'm asking you for an obedient heart. He said, all the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to me. He said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So God said, I'm not asking you for a sacrifice because everything you own already belongs to me. But he said, I'm asking you to go one step further for giving back your possessions. God said, the sacrifice I want is you. Amen. A lot of us, we give God our money. We give God possessions. But how many of us are holding back the one thing that God asked for? It's us. So what happens in our lives, we get so mixed up hearing so many different voices. We make sacrifices. We do, but it's not according to God's word in obedience. Amen. Let's go to Acts, the fifth chapter. Actually, before we go to Acts, the fifth chapter, let's go to Jeremiah the 7th chapter, let's read verses 22 and 23. Now, how many want a blessing? You cannot get a blessing going against God. Because if you read a little further down in that same 28th chapter, he said, if you don't hearken diligently, all of these curses shall be upon thee. Amen. So if you obey God, he will. Look at somebody and say, he'll bless you. But if you disobey God, you receive a curse. But Jeremiah 7:22 reads, he said, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Egypt represents the world. God said, the day that I delivered you from the world. He said, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. He said, but this thing I commanded them, saying, God said, from the time I delivered you, I'm not asking you for sacrifices. I'm not asking you for offerings. But I'm asking you to obey my voice. He said, and if you obey my voice, I will be your God. And ye shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be. So God said, now I've delivered you. How many have been delivered? Well, how many have been delivered? God said, I'm not asking you for sacrifices. I'm not asking you for offering. Somebody said, I don't have enough time. I just gave up. $5,000 in offering. Your money ain't nobody here, so that's all right. I just gave my $5,000 offering and went on my way here. I said, I can tell you. Not unless you got it. If you got it, make it on up. Well, God said, I'm not asking you for your money because it already belongs to me. This is how the devil mixes up the people of God. We get all this stuff and think it belongs to us. God said, you just a steward. I'm allowing you to handle this, to see how you want to handle it. Because a steward is one that takes care of a household affair, the finances and how it runs. Amen. So God said, that don't even belong to your car you drive. God said, it belongs to me. But I'm allowing it to you to see how you're going to. All right, I'm not telling y'all to give y'all a car to the church. I'm just giving you an example. All right? Because God said, I'm not interested in sacrifice. I'm not interested in your offering. God said, the only thing I'm interested in is whether or not you will obey my voice. He said, if you obey my voice, then you will be mine. I'm just curious. I'm just going to ask you some questions on the side. If you obey his voice, you will be his people. What are you if you disobey? He said, if you obey my voice, then you'll be mine. And I will be your God. But if we disobey his voice, what are we? That's your if you disobey him, what are you? And who is your God? So the devil is a master at messing up the mind of the people of God. When they think, well, I got to do what I got to do. God said, all you have to do is obey my voice. So, well, this pastor said that. He said, you know what? I'm going to tell you something about God. The scripture says, in the day that you seek after him with. A lot of people said, I just don't know God. You know why? Because you have not yet purpose in your heart to seek after him with. We can't half-heartedly picking and choosing, follow God and think we're going to find him. He said, the day that you seek after me with all of your heart, then shall you find him. And then he ends, he said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his. That's what makes you right with God. How do you think? Right? The unrighteous man is what? You mean the way I think to make me righteous or unrighteous? Yeah. Because the Lord requires justice and judgment and not sacrifice. So God wants you to do what is right in his eyes. not going there. They called themselves doing a sacrifice, but it was not honest. They were giving, but look at somebody say they weren't honest. God didn't even ask them to give it. They were willingly giving an offering or a sacrifice. They sold their land and they bought the money and laid it down at the apostles' feet, it said, but they took back part of it. They were not being honest. So God didn't even ask for the sacrifice. It's something they purposely do in their heart, but you got to be honest. You can't give a false offering to God and think God's going to bless you. So they came and laid the money down at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, who has tempted you in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You can give God, but don't you live a lie. Amen. Because God can require that if you look at somebody and say, I'm glad I'm not back in the apostles' days. You know, this ain't none of y'all, but some of us were back in the apostle days. And he said, what happened to Ananias? Bible said he immediately fell dead. And he, well, I'm just giving you the history that y'all can read on y'all. So if we were in the apostle days and we did something like that, you mean we could die instantly? Yes, because they were misrepresenting the truth. You cannot give God a partial sacrifice. If you're going to give, don't be dishonest. If you're going to live for God, don't be dishonest. If you're going to live for God, give God your all. Well, then his wife, not knowing what happened to her husband, God don't like dishonesty. Right? The Bible said we should seek God in sincerity and in truth. If you cannot be truthful, then don't do anything. Because the Bible said whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Alright, y'all get quiet. Listen to that. You know, when y'all get quiet, you'll be making me think I'm going down somebody's lane. Y'all make me think I'm coming down your neighborhood, not your house. When you get quiet, I ain't coming down your house. I'm not even coming down your street. Well, how many want to really be saved?
Amen.
Well, the 17th verse of the 5th chapter read, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled. God had performed all these miracles. If you read that, it said, listen, God was so mightily using the apostles. The scripture said, as Peter walked down the street, just his shadow was healing people. He didn't have to say nothing. He just walked down in the shadow. Like right here, I wish I had this power. Y'all got some power on here? Y'all got some problem? In my shadow. I don't have that power. Peter had it. But they got upset because people were being. That's when you got people that are just religious. They ain't got no salvation. So they got upset because of all that God was doing, and they even got us nerdy to be indignant, having indignation. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But if you obey God, if you just do what God says, no matter what man purposes to do against you, God will fight your battles. Somebody said, just be still and let the Lord fight your battles. So people were upset, fighting and putting them in prison, but they put them in prison, but the angel of the Lord. God said, you being obedient to me, I'm going to send my angel to set you free. The scripture of the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought the apostles out. Hallelujah. So man can purpose something against you, but if you just be obedient to God. God.
Yes, Lord.
The man a closing door, but God is sending the angel in here. Open the door. Amen. Let me go down just a little bit further. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Verse 27 said, and when they had brought them, after they had been delivered, they were out preaching again. Right? So they were preaching God's word, and the religious people said, nah, you don't use that name of Jesus, you don't do this, you do that. He said, if you do that, we'll put you in prison. If I go to prison for Jesus, I'm all right. Because Paul and Silas were locked up in jail. See, this is the difference between us and Paul and Silas. Some of us are not in a physical jail, but some of us are in a mental jail. We just cannot get free. But the Bible said at midnight, they began to sing and to pray and to praise the Lord. And suddenly,
Jesus, every tongue shall confess.
baptism of deed?
Yes.
Seriously, is baptism of deed just sidebar? Right? We put this on hold for a minute. Hold that. Is baptism a deed?
Yes.
Well, whatever you do in word or in
deed,
you're supposed to do it how?
Oh.
All right, let's go. We took that back off hold. We back. All right, so whatever you do, do not teach in his name. Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey God rather than God is performing the miracles. Why are we doing it? Because we are to obey God rather than man. How many of us today have been listening to too many people but have been disobeying God, giving God the wrong sacrifice? Right? Because our sacrifice is to please the man that can't take nothing from us. Our sacrifice is to please the man that can't give nothing to us. Only God can give that to us. But in our sacrifice, well, I don't want my wife to be too mad at me. No, that was like a man, that's like a woman. See that up a little bit. I don't want my wife to be too mad at me. So I know what God says, but I don't want her to be mad. We ought to obey God. They said we ought to obey God rather than man. And verse 32 says, and we are his be God's witness. We live, listen, we have so many saved Christians that ain't saved. Because they're not obeying God. Every decision they make is they make because of the consequence of what man can take away from them. I can lose this, I can lose that. You can lose everything else. But if you ever lose God, you lost everything. So don't allow anyone else to push you in a corner to make you obey man and disobey God. That is an improper sacrifice. And to obey is better. So I said, you are the witnesses of these things. So also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that. Somebody said, I'm trying to get the Holy Ghost, but I haven't got it yet. Do you obey him? I said, God's promises are complete. God's promises are full. But we cannot get God's promises unless we. That's good. Y'all still let us say it. I said, I wish the ministers come forward. God blesses those who obey him. God will not bless a wrong. Listen, you mean you can give your body to be burned, bestow all your goods to feed the poor, and the Bible said it promised you because the motives are wrong. Can we purpose today? Listen, salvation is an individual thing. I can't be saved for you, and you can't be saved for me. Salvation is an individual thing. So the question is, do you want to obey God's voice and get a blessing? Or disobey God and lose your blessing? Do you want to obey God and get a blessing? Or disobey God and lose your blessing? God will bless you if you obey him. But if we disobey him, we won't receive a blessing. I don't know what blessings are overtaking you. You know, you don't have to do nothing, it just comes. You say you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the field, you'll be blessed in your fruit, you'll be blessed in your womb. The blessings will be all around you. Why? Because we obey him. The greatest thing that any of us can ever do is to say yes to God. Stop saying yes to people and start saying yes to God in the church.